Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Can I just have somebody wave at me that says, hey, the devil's stolen some stuff from me and I want to get it back? How many of you can say the devil stole some money from me and I want to get it back? How many of you can, this is even more important, the devil stole some time from me and I'm going to get it back. The devil stole some relationships from me and I'm going to get them back and they're going to be better than ever. Or maybe the devil stole your worship, your praise. Maybe your prayer life has been stolen, but I'm here to tell you that God wants to give it all back to you. So in this series, we're going to dive into four things. The true meaning of restoration. The true meaning of restoration. Secondly, we'll get into the potter's perspective. Because at the end of the day, it would be crazy for the pottery to tell the potter what it should be. That decision belongs to one and only one, and that is our God. That is Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we will talk about the road to restoration and what that looks like. And can I just tell you, the road to restoration is a lonely road. The road to restoration is a road less traveled. Why? Because the road to restoration demands certain things from believers that a lot of people are not willing to pay. But I promise you that the retribution and the restitution and the restoration that God has for us as believers is always worth whatever the road to restoration cost us. And then we will dive into what restoration looks like at the end of the process. If you're taking notes today, restoration is a promise from God. It is literally God's will for you to have everything that the enemy has taken from you, whether it's spiritually, tangibly, physically, purpose, whatever it is God's will that you receive everything that the devil has stolen from you. Now, if I could just pause and say this, there's a lot of us that lifted our hands 2 minutes ago and said, I'm ready for God to bring back what the enemy stole from me. And that's just what we know has been stolen. But the most valuable things in you and my life that have been stolen, we didn't even know they were headed to our house. The enemy stole them right before we were about to see the manifestation. The enemy got in the middle of it and stole those things. And so I want to encourage you with this word that God is going to bring back to you everything the enemy has stolen that you know. But I want to get your faith bigger and let you know that God is getting ready in 20. I'm not talking about 23, 24, or 25. I'm talking about in the next 6 months. I'm talking about in the next 185 days. Everything the enemy has stolen, that you know. But oh, there's some faith for some things that you didn't even know that God was getting ready to dump in your lap, that God was getting ready to bring into your family. And God says, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, because the road to restoration, I'm bringing it all back. But there is responsibility on the road to restoration. This promise is for every believer. There is faux restoration, restoration that does not last. See, I don't want God doing something in me on Sunday morning at 11:47 that does not last me till Monday morning at 11:47. I want what God does in here to still be bubbling up, to still be moving, to still be speaking, to still be adding value to my life 1 month, 1 year, 1 decade. From today. This promise is for every believer. It's not a faux restoration. It is a full restoration. It is a continuing restoration. And so I say that to say this true restoration can only be found in Jesus. This is the thing. When you see, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when you see restoration, whether we're talking about a 1966 Chevy, whether we're talking about restoring houses, all we're really doing is bringing them to the original state of the builder or the manufacturer. This is the reason the world can't restore you. The world didn't make you. The world didn't create you. Come on, church. I know the online church is clapping a lot right now. The world didn't make you, so the world can't restore you because they don't know the settings to restore you to. See, when you get saved, you are literally factory resetting yourself to what God created you to be. Because the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our image. The day that God thought about you in heaven and said, I'm going to unleash them on earth in 1980 or 1990 or 1970, he said, I'm going to make them in my image. But David said this, the moment I was born into this world, I was born in sin. I was shaped by iniquity. That is why, because iniquity was your potter as a human being born into this earth. But when you said yes to Jesus, what you didn't know is that God took you out of his hands and put you back on his potter wheel, and he began to form you and fashion you not to look like you, not to look like them, not to look like the world, but God started making you and I to look like Jesus. So the world, there's an old song that says, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. Well, we take that revelation and we move it to your creative purpose. The world cannot restore. The world cannot bring you to your creative purpose because it didn't create you. The world doesn't know how to do what only God can do. God knows your innermost secrets. God knows every weakness I have. God knows every liability I have. And so when he puts me on the potter's wheel, he's dealing with anger. He's dealing with temper. He's dealing with all of the things that I need. And when he puts you on the wheel, he's dealing with your weaknesses and your insecurities. But at the end of the day, we all start looking like Jesus. That's why I don't care if you're black. That's why I don't care if you're yellow or brown, and you shouldn't care that I'm white. Why? Because God is working on us. And when he gets through with us, color's not going to matter. Why? Because we are going to look like Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm coming back better than ever. Restoration can only be found in Jesus. John 10 and 10, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Put up the main title screen, if you would. That's how the enemy wants us to live our lives. See how the bottom of that vase is broken out? The problem with broken vessels is they don't carry what God pours into them. So restoration isn't just about us getting stuff. It is about what God is imparting in us. We don't lose it, come on, by Monday morning. And we don't lose it by what the world's doing and when we're under attack or we're in a storm. But when God pours in us. Now go to the last screen you were on, because I didn't even notice that the vessel the vase in this one is restored. And you say, yeah, but it's a smaller vase. I'd rather have a smaller vase that is restored that can carry something. See, some of us, we're looking at, well, I can't carry much. Just keep carrying what you can carry. Just be glad that you're not broken. Just be glad that you're not addicted, because every addiction is a crack that everything that God is doing in you is pouring out. Everything that you struggle with is a crack, and everything that God is pouring into us during our devotion, during worship, is going right through us. But I'm talking to somebody that says, God, here in June in July of 22, I want you to restore me so that everything you put in me, God, I retain, I hold on to, I embrace it. And then I can freely give it. Every once in a while, I get a hole in one of my feed buckets, and every once in a while, I got to water something and carry water. I try not to do that a lot, because 1 5-gallon bucket of water is 40 pounds, and if you're walking very far and making many trips, that gets heavy. But there's a lot of times where I've scooped water up or filled a water bucket up, and there's a pinhole leak that I didn't notice. And by the time I got to where I was carrying it, half the water was gone. Church, have you ever felt like Tuesday you should be more full than you are? And you're thinking, man, what happened? And a lot of us are saying, I didn't even really go through anything from Sunday to Tuesday. I shouldn't be this empty. Maybe it's not because of an attack you are having. Maybe it's because of something you went through that broke you and you never put yourself back on the potter's wheel. I'm talking to somebody today. Maybe it wasn't a June hurt. Maybe it wasn't a June cut that is messing you up. Maybe it's an October 2018 cut that you haven't recovered from. But I am here to tell you that restoration could be delivered. deliverance, but restoration could be healing. But you need to get healed before you leave here today so you can carry what God is putting in you. Brother Mario Sr., you got these monitors hot. They're nice. They can edit this out if they need to, but you're doing a good job back there. Saving my voice, praise God. Everybody thank God for, that's Mario Guetta Sr. That's Mario's dad back there in the booth. We appreciate him. The thief comes not to steal, kill, and destroy. He's coming to, everything he does is to crack the vessel. But it's not you and me he's after. What's inside of us. The Bible says this, that God puts his treasure in what? Earthly vessels. When God created us, he created us out of what? Dust. What do you create pots out of? Dust. That's why racism is so crazy. We're arguing about the color of dirt that God wrapped us in. When at the end of the day, when all of us die 6 months later, if you were to dig me up, you couldn't tell whether I was white. You couldn't tell whether you were black. You couldn't tell whether you were pink with purple polka dots. None of that matters. I am here to tell you, the enemy is coming after you, not because of what you are, but because of what you carry, because of who you are in Christ. And so when you identify that the devil comes to steal, to kill, to wreck the vessel, so that what God puts in us, we don't carry and it is wasted and spilt. But Jesus said, don't you worry, because after he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said, I'm coming right behind him to give you life and life in abundance. I'm here to give you life and life more than you need. Restoration is abundance. Restoration is more than you need. But here is where, we'll get into this a little in the next couple of weeks. Restoration is so much better than just making it like it was. See, when we talk about restoring a 1966 automobile, that automobile's not going to have Wi-Fi. Some of those won't even have an air condition. Some of those, you're going to still be cranking windows. And so restoring by the world standards is not bringing it to what it could be or should be. It's bringing it back to what it was. Some of us, I hope you catch this revelation. Your prayers are not prophetic, because prayers that are prophetic point to the future, point to the now and the next. And some of us, our prayers are saying, God, I want it like it was. We are praying restoration by the world's definition. And God is saying, why would you pray to go back like it was, when your prayer should be, God, do something on Sunday that literally transforms my life for my future. Some of us are looking at 2022 and we're still living like it's 2020. God, I wish it was like it was before COVID. Really? That's your prayer? We're in 2022 and your prayer is, God, this is what I want to do? We say, man, that sounds so silly, but that's how a lot of us live. When Jesus is saying, no, there's life and life in abundance, and that life that is abundant is not in behind you, it is in front of you, but you can only move ahead if you have been restored. And I'm talking to somebody that you've been a leaky vessel, you've been a broken vessel, you've been a hurt vessel, you've been a wounded vessel, but I am here to tell you, the restorer of all good things is in the room today. His name is Jesus, and I'm not making light of 10-step programs and 5-step programs, but there is one step that you can take today. His name is Jesus. And when you take that step of Jesus, he will restore you. He will restore. I'm not going back. A lot of times we and you've heard me talk about nostalgia is poisonous. Looking backwards, the good old days. Let me tell you something. There's some awesome days ahead that are going to put the good old days to shame. The enemy's trying to make your past and bring glory to your past, when I'm glad I'm not who I used to be. I know that I had some good moments, and I know I had some good times, but let me tell you, 40-year-old Brandon is glad that I'm not going back. I'm glad that I'm not stuck. I'm glad that I'm not broken like I was when I was 17. I'm glad that I'm not going through what I was going through when I was 27. Restoration moves us forward. Here's the truth, church. Write this one down. Restoration is more about who you are, not about stuff that you have accumulated or will reaccumulate. When we talk about restoration and we preach it so often, every message I've ever heard or preached about restoration is about getting your stuff back. And it can be, but it's secondary. True restoration is not getting your stuff back. It's getting your life back. It's becoming who God has created you to be. And so when I say, God, I'm ready to be restored. I'm ready to be back and better than ever. I'm not talking about money I lost. I'm not talking about business deals that went sideways. I'm not talking about relationships that went south. I'm talking about, God, there's some things that you did in me that somewhere along the line I lost. But God, I'm planting myself. God, I want to go through the process of restoration. I want to get on the road to restoration. I want to see the potter's perspective in my life, because God, if you restore me, I can get all the things again. Solomon prayed, and God said, Solomon, ask for anything you want. Solomon didn't ask for money, didn't ask for silver, gold, didn't ask for any of that. He said, God, I want wisdom, because if you give me wisdom, everything that I need, I can get. If you and I ever become what God has called us to be, we will not need or want for anything. If we have the faith as a believer, if we have Jesus as our hope and anchor, if we serve kingdom, and we are, and this is what I think, this is where I think a lot of us miss it. You understand that as a believer, you are on assignment. You are literally, if you come to Living Way for more than three services, you are special ops. You are on assignment every day. You think God gave you that job at USAA to make $100,000 a year? Oh, that's just icing on the cake. The real reason God put you there was there's a whole floor of people that are demon-possessed, people that are sick, people that are lost. And God said, hey, I need to restore you to reach them. So check this out. We're on assignment. Everything we need is called provision. God gives us vision, and then he gives us provision to fulfill the vision. I believe this, the level of your assignment always dictates the level of the provision that God gives you. So if you don't have enough, maybe your assignment is too little. And maybe the assignment is too little for you because there's not enough faith in you to do something big. But there's some people sitting in the room today and watching online. God has called you to do big things. And when God calls you to do big things, God is going to entrust you with big bank accounts. God's going to entrust you with big staffs. God's going to entrust you with big budgets. Why? Because there's an assignment that God has called you to. And when you are restored, and when you are the person God has created you to be, now he can give you the things that you need to get the job done. I don't want to be a billionaire to be, I've quit saying millionaire. Having $1 million is not enough in 2022. When I become a billionaire, the reason I want to be a billionaire is not to have helicopters and planes. The reason I want to be a billionaire is to pay this church off, to pay every other church that needs paying off, to build orphanages, to listen, change the world, to not have to, all these abortions say, no. We're going to get you an apartment. We're going to get you the best medical attention you need. The best doctors and OBGYNs in San Antonio are at your disposal. God, if you give me the assignment, you can trust me with the provision, but I need to be restored so it's not wasted on me. Somebody say big vision. I got just a couple minutes left. Big vision. God has us on assignment, gives us provision according to the assignment. I love this. The devil can't touch your assignment. So he steals your stuff, which makes our prayer of restoration turn more to our stuff than the assignment. Oh, as a believer, when the devil comes at you, you ought to take it as a badge of honor and a badge of God's glory on you. Devil, if you came at me like you came at me in 2020 or 2021, it's because God's assignment on me. It's because of the greatness he has called me to. But I'm here to tell you, you can mess with all of my stuff. I serve the God of restoration. I have the potter on speed dial on my phone, and he will restore me, which means I can get all the stuff back once again. I'm not worried about stuff. I'm concentrating on the assignment. I'm concentrated on the assignment. See, Living Way's assignment has to be more than filling a building once or twice a week. Our assignment has to be souls. Our assignment has to be breaking down demonic strongholds. Our assignment has to be clearing out ICU wards. Our assignment has to be shutting down the Laurel Ridges and all the places where people with mental disorders are having to stay. I am here to tell you our assignment is big, but God says, I can trust you with the assignment, and I can trust you with the provision, but I need an army of the restored that can carry the glory, carry the anointing, carry everything you need to get the job done. The assignment. The assignment. How many moms we have in the house today? You found out you were pregnant. That was your assignment. Then you went to the doctor to start getting cared for and provision according to your assignment. See, I raise agriculture, and we're a breeding operation. Once I find out that those cows or horses are pregnant, their feeding regimen changes, not because of the individual cow or horse, but now what they're carrying. What you and I digest and ingest becomes different because of what we're carrying. The Bible calls it a Nazarite vow. Hey, Samson, you can't touch the dead thing. Hey, Samson, you can't have grape juice. You can't have anything from the vine. You can't have strong drink. Pastor, do you believe I can drink and go to heaven? Oh, don't ask me that question. If you ask me that question, I'm going to say yes, but this is what I'm going to follow it up with. You can't be drunk and do what God has called you to do. But let me tell you my testimony. When I said yes to Jesus, I cut all that out. Why? Not because it's going to send me to hell, but it could cost me my assignment. Because it can break my vessel. Because I got an 18-year-old son that's looking at me. I'm going to tell one of myself. The other day, me and Tyler were getting ready for camp. There's a couple people around. And I said a word I wasn't supposed to say. I'm still working it out just like you are, praise God. Everybody got real quiet. Tyler said, I'm calling mom. Because he knows what just came out of you doesn't match who God has called you to be. And we have to be able to resolve you, come on, church, with your assignments. And what I'm having trouble doing, especially this week, is pastors that are making excuses as to why we should be aborting little babies. I'm sorry, Pastor. I can't hear you preach salvation, and I can't hear you talk about your assignment when who you are and your assignment don't match. You're a broken vessel. You're not a lost cause, because God can still restore you. I'm talking to everybody in the room today. I'm talking to everybody watching online today. Make sure that who God has called you to be is lining up with what God has called you to do. We are on assignment, and God says to be on assignment, you have to be restored, and I will restore you. My assignment. What I'm doing, does it match? Who I am, does it match my assignment? One of the great things about growing up in church like I have, I've grown up around great heroes of faith. grown up and been behind the scenes with, and these are going to sound like humble brags, but I've been behind the scenes with T.D. Jakes and Joel Osteen, and I've been behind the scenes with people like Rod Parsley and these great men and great women of God. And what's awesome is when the man or woman matches the assignment. But what's devastating is when the person behind that door doesn't match the person behind the pulpit. Years ago, Sister Tammy will know who I'm talking about, but we'll let this woman remain nameless. She came to Living Way one time. You know why she came to Living Way one time? Because she was a terrible person. Great preacher, terrible person. People coming up to her and her handler saying, "Don't touch the woman of God." Talking down to the people of God. The only difference between me and you right now is I'm the one holding the mic and I'm 3 foot higher than you are. But we're all saints of God first. No preacher is better than any saint. Because when we all get to heaven, we're all saints. We're not preachers. We're all going to be casting our crowns at the feet of Jesus. We're all going to be saying, "Holy, holy, holy. There's no one like you." But I guarantee you, and I'm closing, you can stand on your feet. I can guarantee you, we find out somebody as a person doesn't match the pulpit, they never come back to Living Way. I remember another guy got in the car with his armor bearer. His armor bearer sitting in the front seat. One of our great men was driving them from the airport. The preacher was in the back seat. The preacher wouldn't talk to our man that was driving. He would tell his armor bearer, "Hey, tell the driver to take me to Starbucks." "Hey, bro, you're sitting 5 feet from him. You're no better than he is." We didn't find out about that until that pastor had already preached and was long gone. But my dad said to the gentleman driving, "If someone ever talks to you like that again, you have my permission to pull the car over, leave them on the side of 410, Interstate 35, or Interstate 10, and they can hitchhike back home. Because no one deserves..." What am I talking about? Make sure that we as the people match the assignment. You say, "Well, don't those preachers, man, they... don't they still have results?" Oh, of course they do. In the Old Testament, God used a jackass, and he still does in 2022. You say, "Well, how can they be so good here but not so good there?" Easy. They're broken vessels, and God pours into them while they're here, and they scatter everything to God. But when they leave, they're empty because they're broken. I want to open this altar. It has already been opened by the people of God. If you're in this room today and you're saying, "I need some of this restoration," and maybe it's not things. Maybe you've been enlightened and revealed by the Holy Spirit that God wants to fix your heart. God wants to fix your spirit. God wants to not plug up the holes. He wants to make you new. He wants to restore you to your heaven settings. He wants to restore you to creative settings. He wants to restore you so that you look and talk and sound like him. Look at this altar. Look at this altar. In this house, there are so many vessels. Some of us, we've tried to hide the broken places. But the greatest thing about Jesus is that Jesus loves when we expose our brokenness. Jesus never breaks you without fixing you. Anytime Jesus has had to break me down, he fixes me right back up. Like I told the lighting crew, I said, "Y'all can do whatever you want to do, but on Sunday we got to have some lights." So they're adding new things, but they're making sure we still are able. God's the same way. God's never going to leave you Monday to Sunday broken. If he breaks you in your devotional, your prayer, he's going to fix you up. He's going to make you new. He's going to restore you. If you're in this altar right now, I just want you to lift your hands to heaven, and I want you to just start saying things like this: "God, restore me. God, put me back together. God, I want to look like you. God, make me like you. You envisioned me in heaven. Make me like you envisioned me when I was a glimmer in your eye.